Okay, Perek Yutes, Yeshaya Perek Yutes. Masa Mitzroyim. Previously we discussed Nevuas about Bovel and about Moav, Damesek, other countries that were powers of the time. Mitzrayim was unique that besides their military strength, Mitzrayim was the cultural nation of the world, the architecture, the beauty, their order of government and system of life. But now the Navi says how Mitzrayim is also going to face their downfall. Masa Mitzrayim, a nevuah concerning the land of Egypt, the land of Mitzrayim. And Mitzrayim already got their blows at the time when Klal Yisrael was freed, when we became a nation by Yetzias Mitzrayim. And this nevuah is very reminiscent of the way they were punished before is once again going to happen. Hinei Hashem rochev al ov kal. Behold, Hashem is riding on a light cloud. Uva Mitzrayim, and he's going to come to Egypt. He's going to come to Mitzrayim. V'na'u elili Mitzrayim iponov. The idols, the false gods of Egypt will tremble before Hashem. Ulevav Mitzrayim yimas bekirbo. And the heart of Mitzrayim will melt within it. And as Rashi says, the nevuah is in this term. Mipnei shehem lemudim lilkos b'mida hazos. Mitzrayim is used to getting hit in this manner. By the Makos in Mitzrayim, it says, Vavarti Beretz Mitzrayim. Hashem said, I myself will pass through the land of Mitzrayim, and I'll strike the firstborn. So once again, the Novi says, we're scaring Mitzrayim by what they're used to. They know what happened the last time when Hashem came through Mitzrayim. And now once again, Hashem is going himself, Hinei Hashem Rochev Alov Kal, he's going to ride on this swift cloud and come into Mitzrayim. And by Yetzias Mitzrayim uvachol Elohim Mitzrayim eseh shvotim, all of the false gods of Egypt were judged, and the stone and the metal melted, and the stone and the wood burned up. The gods themselves were judged. And as Rashi concludes, v'derech eretz miyarin es ha'odom b'maka shekvar lokobo. The normal way of things are, you scare somebody by something that he's cognizant of, something that he was already hit with. So when you warn Mitzrayim that they're going to get a punishment, we remind them and we tell them it's the same type of punishment that they have received previously. We're beginning with Perek Yutes. So this nevuah about Mitzrayim, Hinei Hashem, the term Hinei is behold, it's like a chiddush, something to see. Either we'll see it's Hinei, it's unusual in the fact that the normal course of events, their normal economy we'll see, the rivers are, there's an upheaval and they're destroyed. Hinei, it's something to see, something unusual. Chutz miderech hateva. And it could also be Hinei to see that it's right here. The Novi sees it happening imminently. That Mitzrayim is going to be destroyed by Ashur, by the Syrian Empire. Sancheirib is going to come. This is before he comes to Eretz Yisrael, before he is destroyed outside Yerushalayim. But before that, he goes to the land of Mitzrayim and he conquers it. And Hinei Hashem, behold Hashem, is Rochev Alov Kal. Hashem is riding on this swift cloud. The Me'am Lois brings down one of the Mefarshim that Mitzrayim is a land of Tumah, is a land of impurity. And therefore it could be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though he's passing through Mitzrayim, he's going to be there, but he goes quickly. He gets out of there, even Kaviyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to remain in such a dirty place. But Hashem is going to be coming on this Ov Kal, on this swift cloud, uvo Mitzrayim, and I'll come to Mitzrayim. V'no elile Mitzrayim iponov. The false gods of Egypt will tremble before Hashem. Ovav Mitzrayim Yimas Bekirbo, and the heart of Mitzrayim will melt within it. The Malbim explains that the land of Mitzrayim, as we all know, as the Torah says, it wasn't a land that was watered with Mei Geshamim, with rainwater, but it relied on the Nile. The river would overflow, and then the water would flow over the banks and run into canals and irrigation ditches that were arranged, and that would irrigate the land. But there wasn't rainfall. So in Egypt, people would build houses out of clay and out of mud, and it would dry, and nothing would happen. As long as it doesn't rain, the sand castle will stand. You know, there's not a problem with it. Part of the punishment, the Novi's warning, is Hashem is going to be coming al ov kal, on a swift cloud. And a cloud is an indicator of rain. So that's all part of the punishment of Mitzrayim, that all that Mitzrayim needed was a good soaker, a good rainfall, and all of their dirt and mud and the houses, all that was built with the clay, it would all just fall apart. As their heart, it would all just melt. Levav Mitzrayim Yimas Bekirbo. Their hearts will melt, and when the rain comes, everything else will be destroyed. V'sich sachti Mitzrayim b'Mitzrayim. I will incite Mitzrayim against Mitzrayim. There'll be internal struggles. V'nilchamu ish ba'achiv. Every man will battle his brother. V'ish b'reyeyu. And every man will be against his friend. Ear be ear, one city against the other city. Mamlocha be mamlocha, one kingdom against another kingdom. There'll be different districts and different kingdoms within Mitzrayim that will be battling. Again, reminiscent to what happened by Yetzias Mitzrayim, Lamake Mitzrayim Bivchoreihem, that when every makah that Moshe Rabbeinu said would happen, happened. So then when Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know, that the firstborn, the Bechayrim, are going to be killed, the Bechayrim arose in rebellion, and they said, you better let the Jews go, otherwise all of us Bechayrim will be killed. I'm not a Bechor. But all of us Bechayrim will be killed. That's what the Mitzrayim said. So it started a war. Paro didn't want to let the Yidden go. The rest of the Mitzrayim didn't want to let the Jews go. So the Makim Mitzrayim, Bivchoreim, Mitzrayim was struck with their own Bechorim, started a war. And here also, V'sich Tzachti Mitzrayim B'Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim will be battling Mitzrayim. The Malbim explains that if one country goes to war against another, but at least within the country, there has to be every mamlocha, every district, every area has to be united. And here, mamlocha be mamlocha, the different kingdoms of Mitzrayim will be battling. And when one mamlocha fights another, but at least the cities within the mamlocha, within the kingdom, have to be united. And here, there's ear be ear. And when one city battles another, at least in the city, there has to be peace. But here, it's ish b'reyeyu, every man against his neighbor. And when the families are fighting, and it's one man against his neighbor, but at least the family itself is united. And here it's ish ba'achiv, every man against his brother. And the order is reversed. That first there's ish ba'achiv. The brothers, the families themselves are splintered and are fighting. And yet while they're fighting themselves, they start up with ish b'reyeyu. And within the city, ish b'reyeyu, everyone's fighting, and yet the city starts a battle year by year. And then even though the cities are quarreling, it's mamlocha by mamlocha, so it comes out the whole city is fighting both within and without, and there's conflict, and the whole city is the whole country has erupted into warfare and into bloodshed. The Al-Sheikh explains in general, it's much more common to have a battle of country against country. That happens in the world. There's always wars going on, different countries. But it's rarer to have a city against a city. A civil war is not that common. Today. But within a civil war, that's... within a civil war might be more common, But certainly Ish B'Re'eyu, to have within the city struggles, is rare. And within the family, Ish B'Re'eyu, Ish B'Achiv is the least common. But here with Mitzrayim, again, the order is going to be reversed, which is all part of this Hine Hashem Rochiv Alov Kal, something to behold. Things are not going to be following their normal expected course of events, but it'll be clear that Hashem is directing this. V'novka ruach Mitzrayim b'kirbo. The spirit of Mitzrayim will be emptied within it. They won't have the spirit of seichel, of wisdom, of understanding. They won't have the spirit to fight and courage, but they'll lose their whole drive, their whole ambition. V'novka ruach Mitzrayim b'kirbo. The spirit of Mitzrayim will be emptied within it. Vatzoso avaleya, and I will confound and destroy whatever counsel. Normally there would be counsel, and the wise men discuss the best course of action, but that will all be confused, and they won't have a clear course of action. Vidorshu El Ha'alilim, they'll go seeking after their false gods. The word Elilim, meaning an idol, comes from the word Al, that there's nothing to it. It's Al, it's not. It's not anything of substance, anything that's true or significant or lasting. V'dorshu El Ha'alilim, they'll go seeking after their false gods. V'el Ha'itim, and after Kishuf, after sorcery. Velo ovos velha yidonim, to the ovos and yidonim, which is different ways of communicating with the dead to try to get some type of message from those who are no longer in this world and possibly know what should be done for the future. But these are all practices that, of course, the Torah doesn't allow us. That's a separate machlokis, whether there's anything to it or it's nonsense. But the Mitzrayim will go seeking after that. No, actually, I'm going to give a look here. If I can put you on pause for a minute. I wasn't planning to say this, but this actually is a very interesting discussion in Yoredeya about whether there is anything to all these practices of the Rambam had held that there is nothing. There is no seichel, there's no truth to it. And it's brought down in Yoredeya. It's in Simin Kuf Ayin Tes, the halachos of Ma'onein and Machashev, studying different omens based on different times and different signs. And Kishuf is sorcery that's translated. And it says in Shulchan Aruch a lot of different practices that are not allowed. The Mechaber says, for instance, in Sivvav, Misha Noshcho Akrav, if a guy is bitten by a scorpion, Mutta Lilcho Shalov, he's allowed to say a charm for the victim. Vafilu B'Shabbos, even on Shabbos, even though it doesn't help at all to say these magic words, but if the person's in danger of his life, they allowed it in order that his mind shouldn't become all confused. If a person is lo aleinu, deathly ill, and he believes that certain practices might help him, so it really doesn't. But if the person was bitten by a scorpion, and he's going to feel that if we say these words, somehow he'll be healed. That itself will bolster his spirits, will make him feel better. So the Mechaber holds that's allowed. I say certain practices are allowed, certain things are not. This the Machaber says is allowed. On that, the Bir Hagro says, on this sif, he brings down the Rambam. He says this Machaber is based on the Rambam. Avol kol haboyim achrov cholku alov. But the Vilna Goyen says, everyone who follows the Rambam argued with the Rambam's approach. Sharei harbe lechoshim nemru bigamara. There were many types of lachash, many charms that the Gemara says. V'hu nimshach achar hafilosofia. The Rambam himself is drawn after philosophy. V'lechein kosav, and therefore he writes, shekshofim v'shemos u'lechoshim v'shedim u'kmeyos hakol hu sheker. The Rambam writes everything, whether it's you're talking about witchcraft or using certain names or certain charms or shadim demons and kameos amulets. The Rambam writes it's all a sheker. There's the whole thing in words. It's if it doesn't make sense to you, it's all a lie and there's no sense to it. Avol kvar hiku oson al kodkodo. But the Gros says they hit him on the skull for this. Harbe Maisios Bigamara. The Gemara brings many Maisis, Al Yidei Shemos Ikshofim. The Gemara has stories that they use names in those stories with Kishif. Omra Ihi Milsava Sarta La Arba. There was a Maisa the Chachomim met this woman who knew witchcraft. She said some magic words and she immobilized the ship. And they said other words to counteract her, what she said. And the Gemara brings down other Gemaras, and he just ends off, va philosophia hitoso barov likha. The philosophy misled the Rambam with its enticing ideas. Lafarish ha-Gemara ha-kol b'derech ha-letzai. That the Rambam learns the Gemara is not literal. The Gemara has a deeper meaning. Whatever the Gemara is not to be understood literally. V'lakar osam mipashton. V'chas v'sholom eini maimin bohem v'lo mehem v'lo mehamonam. The Gros says, chas v'sholom, I have nothing to do with anything with this approach. El kol devarim heim kapashtam. All the words are to be taken literally. El sheyesh behem pinimios. But there is a deeper inner meaning. Lo pinimios shobale ha-philosophia. Not the deeper meaning that the philosophers have. Shem chitzonios, which is really an outer, doesn't belong here, it's outside. El shobali ha'emes. There is a deeper meaning al pi Kabbalah. Again, I'm not sure exactly what to do with that machloik. Is certainly, you know, we grew up in America where you should know the approach of the Rambam, you have the Rambam to rely on that. There's nothing to all of this. The Gros says there is. There seems that there was something and it was forgotten. There's a famous incident in the times of Rav Yochanan Wasserman and the Chofetz Chaim. There was a dibuk, some like spirit went into a person, and they had a group of chachomim, and they somehow expelled the dibuk. But it has been said, I'll just close with this thought, that when the koyach azel umazel osel lokim, there's a certain balance in the world of kedusha and the opposing forces of Tumah. And as the power of Kedusha becomes weaker and weaker, and we certainly don't have the leaders and the Tzaddikim and the Gedolim like we had in previous centuries, as the power of Kedusha gets weaker, the power of Tumah also gets weaker. And therefore there are those who say that all these things existed, but even if they did exist, but nowadays it's certainly less of a concern. Nowadays, the fact that we don't have such a power of Kedusha, these other things aren't an issue. But this is certainly not the normal course. When somebody's in a difficulty, we would expect them to look for their counsel, for their chachamim, to have a strategy, how to save the land of Egypt. And yet, v'novka ruach Mitzrayim bekirbo, the spirit of Mitzrayim is going to be emptied within them. They won't have their spirit. Vatsoso avaleya, and their counsel, their plans, will all be confounded. They'll be confused. They won't know what to do. Vidorshu el ho'alilim, then they'll start seeking after things that are not the normal, logical, sensible, rational approach. They'll start going for their idols, Vel ha'itim, and they'll go after witchcraft. Vel ha'ovos, vel ha'idonim. They'll start looking for ways to communicate with the dead. The strength of a nation is based on two things, the Malbim says. First of all, they have to be united. If they're going to fight, they have to be united. And the second thing is there has to be a strategy, and there has to be the military capability that those that are willing to fight and are united have the plans and have the ability to do so. What the Novi said in these few psukim is, Mitzrayim won't have any of this. They won't be united, and they won't have a strategy, and they won't have the wisdom, they won't know how to go about fighting their enemies, fighting Sancheiriv and Ashur, and they won't be united either. And therefore, Pasuk Dalet, the next thing is V'sikarti es Mitzrayim, I'm going to give over Mitzrayim, Biyad Adonim Koshe, in the hands of Adonim Koshe, a harsh master. It could be it means a harsh master as a single person, and rulership is very often expressed in the plural. Adonai Yosef, the masters of Yosef, referring to Potiphar. Im ba'olav imo, if the owner's with it, if somebody gives you an object, he lends it to you and the owner's there, it's not called be'olo, it's called be'olav, even though that's in the plural, but it's a master is written in the plural. So v'sikarti es Mitzrayim biyad Adonim Koshe, I'm going to give over Mitzrayim in the hands of Adonim Koshe, a harsh master. And others learn that no, it does mean literally Adonim Koshe, that even though Sancheiriv is going to conquer Mitzrayim, but he's going to have many people working under him. If there be one leader, he can in general cause the land suffering, but he can't supervise every individual block and every individual neighborhood and group of people. But here there's Adonim Koshe, there's so many Adonim, there's many masters. And they're Koshe, they're out to make things difficult and hard. And Mitzrayim is going to be under their control. Umelech az yimshobom. And there'll be a king over them. There'll be many of these Adonim, but they will have one person over all of them. The strong king, yimshobom, who will rule over them. Ne'um ha'adon Hashem Tzvokos, so says the ruler, Hashem Tzvokos. V'sikarti, some explain that Sancheiriv's plan was, when he conquered a nation, he would exile them. In Malachim, there's the story about how he exiled the 10 tribes, and in their place he brought people from the land of Kusa, and he brought them and he put them in Eretz Yisrael. And lions attacked them, and they came to the realization that in Eretz Yisrael you have to worship the God of the land, you have to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Eretz Yisrael, these lions that came were a rare occurrence, and they understood it was a message from Hashem, and they converted, and they became the famous Kusim that is discussed in the Mishnayos and in the Gemara, and through the generations, what the status of the Kusim are. They converted because they were afraid of lions. And the question is, was that a sincere, are they Geri Emes, or are they just Geri Arayas converting because of the fear of the lions? But that's what Sancheiriv did. He moved one country into another region, and he shifted around the different nations. By Mitzrayim, it doesn't say that. It says V'sikarti. The word V'sikarti is like V'yisochru Mayinos Tehom. By the Mabul, all of the springs were opened from under the earth, and the windows of heaven were opened, it rained down, and the water came up, and the world was flooded over all the highest mountains. And after the Mabul, most of the springs were closed up. There's still a few hot springs that remain, but Vayisochru Mainos Tahomos, they were blocked up, they were stuffed up. Visikartias Mitzrayim could mean Mitzrayim is now going to be clamped down. They're going to have a mighty Biyad Adonim Koshe. They're going to have these difficult, harsh masters. And they're going to entrap Mitzrayim, and they're going to be stuck in their place, suffering under the foreign ruler. They won't be shifted around, but they'll stay right in their place and suffer right where they are. But you should realize, Biyad Adonim Koshe, they might be under the hands of many harsh masters, but this is Ne'um Ha'odon. This is the words of the Master, Ha'odon, Hashem Tzavakos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever masters Mitzrayim has, and of course that's the lesson in general, whatever masters a person has, somebody over him, but it's all from Ha'odon, the Master, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is orchestrating this and causing the downfall of Mitzrayim. V'nishesu mayim mei hayom. The waters will nishesu, the Metsudis learns they'll be removed. There won't be the water, the water will be removed from the sea. V'nohar yechra v'yovesh. And the river will dry out and be parched, totally dry. Mitzrayim's glory and strength was their river. As Rashi says, She'en geshomim yordim shom, it doesn't rain in Mitzrayim. El nilus olo mashko, so in the middle of the Rashi, the Nile would rise up and water the land. Derech ye'orim ho'asuyim bidei adam, through different Ya'orim, irrigation ditches and canals that were man-made. Therefore the punishment of Mitzrayim is compared liyovesh Ya'orim, to like these Ya'orim, these canals that are drying out. When the water is removed and recedes from the sea, based on the way the waters and the ocean went and the sea, that would affect that the Nile would back up and then it would start to overflow the banks. But here, v'lo yachzir hayom es nilus la'achorov, v'yered nilus l'socho, the waters of the Nile won't back up but they'll continue flowing into the sea because the water level in the sea is going to drop. V'lo yalav yashkes Mitzrayim, and it won't water Mitzrayim, and therefore, even though year after decade after century, they always count on their Nile, all it takes is this fact that the sea is no longer at its level, that the Nile will no longer back up, and we'll see in a minute the whole structure of Mitzrayim will be destroyed. V'nishesu mayim mehayom, the water will recede from the sea. The water will recede from the sea. The Mitsuda says that, we'll see in a moment, Mitzrayim is not going to have food for themselves. But they won't even be able to transport by waterway. They won't be able to bring the water because the sea is going to recede and the river is going to dry up and they won't be able to transport and bring, they won't be able to import what they need. V'nishesu mayim mehayom, the water will recede from the sea. V'nohor yechrav yovesh, and the Nile, the river, will yechrav, will dry out. V'yovesh will become parched, will become completely dry. V'heznichu nahoros, the rivers will become foul, they'll start to smell. Or others learn v'heznichu means to like abandon. The rivers will abandon their water. In other words, there won't be, the rivers will dry out. Again, from the Nilus, from the Nile, the river overflowed and went into other smaller rivers. There were tributaries. And then from the smaller rivers, there were Ye'orim, there were man-made ditches. So obviously, once the Nile dries up, so v'heznichu naharos, the other rivers also won't have their water. Dolalu, it's as if the water is lifted up, and it's no longer in these trenches. V'chorvu, and they've dried up, Ye'ore Motzar, the moats that are set up around the cities to protect them from a siege. Like the old castles, where they either had a castle and around it there was a moat, and you couldn't enter the castle unless they lowered the drawbridge, and otherwise it was a deep, moat around the cities that would protect them from the enemy. But here all the water dries up. In Dolulu, it's as if the water was lifted up and removed. V'chorvu, and it dried out. Ye'orei Motzar, all of the moats that would protect them from a siege. Kone Vasuf Kamelu, the reeds and the bulrushes, all of these things that grow by the water, Kamelu, they all wither. The first step in Mitzrayim's downfall is that the rivers are going to dry out. All the rivers, the sea is going to recede, the Nile will dry out, for the other rivers will be dried out. And that's the first part of the makkah, the first part of the blow. But we'll see there are many different facets and many different implications that how it affects Mitzrayim. Oros al Ya'or, there are plants that are attached and strongly connected to the Nile. Al Piyor, and they're right at the entrance, right at the side of the Nile, on the banks. V'chol Mizra Ya'or, and everything that is planted by the Ya'or. Yivash will dry up, Nidaf wither, Ve'inenu will no longer exist. First he mentioned Konev Asuf Kamelu. In general, there are the reeds and the bulrushes are destroyed. Kamelu, they wither. Oros al Ya'or, even those that are strongly attached. Mu'ura Begidin is something that's attached strongly. Oros al Ya'or, they're connected to the Ya'or. Al Piyor, by the banks of the river. V'chol Mizra Ya'or, and then there are plants that are even cultivated, Bidei Adam, that humans, people planted them. And those are usually planted in a way and they're cared for that they last longer and they grow better. But even the Mizra Ya'or, what's planted, everything is Yivash, dries up, Nidaf, withers, Ve'inenu, and is no longer. That's the second step. Mitzrayim was a land that grew a lot of produce, a lot of things. There was the Mizra Ya'or, what they planted. There was fertile land by the river. They planted their crops. And now, not only are they not going to have water for their needs of water or for shipping things, but whatever grows by the water will no longer grow, and they won't have their tefuah, they won't have their crops. Va'anu, the third step, is Va'anu Hadayogim. The fishermen will mourn. Va'ovlu, and they'll lament, Kol Mashlichi Va'yor Chaka, all those that would throw into the Nile their chaka, their hooks, their fishing hooks. Uforse michmores, and those that spread nets, al pnei mayim, on the water, umlolu. They'll all be bereaved, they'll all be cut off, they won't have their source of livelihood. The Malbim explains that ninus is the way a person feels. Avelus is the way he expresses it. I would assume that's why when lo aleinu, if a relative dies, the close relatives have a status of an onein, where they're still busy, they're involved, and they're one day he's running around with his business and he's taking care of whatever he's got to do around the house, and now a relative lo aleinu died, he's busy involving with a mace, but he doesn't have a chance to express his grief and to talk about the nifter or to sit on the floor. In other words, right now he's busy. His life seems to go on. People are too busy with different things. And the onein in his heart feels the terrible loss, but outwardly he's busy and he doesn't express his grief. After that comes the period of avelus, where the person's buried and he's finished what needs to be done for the nifter. And then he sits and he mourns and he discusses and he talks. Va'anu hadayogim. When Mitzrayim's waters are dried up. So the fishermen, the first step is they feel that in their hearts. Va'anu hadayogim. They feel this sense of mourning, what they're in for. they see what's coming, they see that as the water's drying up, they can tell where it's leading. But the first step is this premonition that things aren't good and they're in trouble. And then the next step is va'ovlu, they lament and they show their avelus. And not only those who catch the little fish, and the little fish are not as sturdy and not they die sooner, but even those kol mashlichei va'yor chako, those that throw, that would throw into the yor, those that would throw into the Nile, they would throw chaka, their hooks, to catch larger fish, to catch a sardine. You don't go with a fishing rod. You know, your hook is to catch a larger fish. But even the larger fish, those that are mashlichi by your chaka, they're also going to lament because they're not going to have that either. It's all going to die. Uporse michmores, and those that spread out their nets, al pnei mayim, on the water, where even if there's fewer fish, but they're bound to catch something. With a net, you can catch many, many fish. But those also umlolu. Those also are going to be bereaved, and they're going to feel their loss, that as the waters dry up, they're not going to have their fish. That's the third way this makkah is going to hit Mitzrayim. Uvoshu ovdei fishtim. And those that are ovdei pishtim, those that work with the flax, srikos, those that comb it, and they were the flax, as it's part of the processing of the, they take the flax plant, and it's beaten out, and it's combed, and it's cleaned, and made into linen. And Mitzrayim, Egypt, was famous for their linen. But now, voshtu ovdei fishtim, those that work with the flax, srikos, and they comb it out, they'll be embarrassed. Va'orgim choroi, those who weave choroi, comes from the word chivor, which is white. Choroi could mean the linen naturally is a white color, but the finest linen is a brighter white. The shade of white is dependent on the quality of the linen. And those who are orgim choroi, those who are weave with the fine linen, are going to be embarrassed because that's what grew by the Nile, and now that's not growing. This is a separate, a fourth punishment. We've talked before about their crops, what's planted by the kol mizra yor, what's planted by the yor will not exist. And now they won't have pishtim, they won't have the flax, and therefore those who worked in the whole economy that was dependent on flax, those people will be embarrassed because they'll be unemployed and they won't have what to do, they won't have a means of earning a living. You see, that's the fourth step, the ripple effect on their economy. V'hoyu shoso seho midukoim. And it will be that the foundations of the fish pools, there are little pools that are for the fish, and what they would do is they would allow the water to flow out of the Nile into the pool, and then they would stop it up so that the water can't flow back. And the water there had fish in it, and it was isolated now from the Nile. It was a quiet pool of water. It was agmei nofesh, like an agam is a pool of water, and nofesh is like vayinofash, to rest. V'hoyu shoso seho midukoyim. The foundations, shosos is the foundations. Midukoyim, they'll be battered. We mean the foundations of their fish pools will be battered, because nobody's going to care about it, because there's no fish. There was a whole system by which they had a dam, or something like a dam, or they had these pools, they would allow the water to go into these agmei nofesh, kolose secher, all those who made secher. Secher can mean from the word to like vayisochru, that we had before, to block up, kolose secher, those that would block up the water, agmei nofesh, to make quiet pools, tranquil pools of water, where they would allow the water and the fish into the pool, then they would block it up so that the water can't flow back, and then they would be able to easily spread out a net or catch whatever fish are in the pool. And after they take the fish, they can release the water, and bring in new water with fish. But now that the rivers are drying out, so these fish pools, the foundations are battered, kolose secher, all those who dam these calm pools, the agme nofesh, they'll all be depressed. The word agme nofesh can actually also mean like to be depressed. Agme nofesh can be taken to mean an agam, a pool of water. Nofesh, that's tranquil, that's calm, like shavas vayinofash. It can also mean to be somebody who's agme nofesh can mean he himself has a bitter soul, he feels depressed, he's all sad, and all those people who did this are now suffering. In the Haggadah we say, Minayin shekol mako mako shehivi HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Mitzrayim. Hoyse shel arba makos. And another Tana says, Hoyse shel chomesh makos. That every maka that happened to Mitzrayim was four or five makos. And there was each one. And therefore, by Mitzrayim, so then there was 200, or there was 40 or 50, and then on... But each maka was had a few parts to it. In this pasuk, which as in these pesukim, which is really discussing what's going to happen to Mitzrayim in the times of Ashur, when Sancheir will destroy Mitzrayim, but you see how the one maka, an example of this, the water is going to dry up. That is the maka, but as a result, first of all, they won't have water. They won't have the rivers. They won't have the way of transporting goods, and then they won't have their crops, their grain, whatever they planted by the river won't grow. And the third inyan is that the fishermen, there won't be fish. The fourth thing is that there'll be an effect on the economy. Those that plant, those that ovdei pishtim, those that work with the flax will be embarrassed. And other meforshim learned that in pasuk tes, those who are ovdei pishtim, those that worked with the flax, sirikos, and they combed it out, v'orgim choroi, and they wove choroi. Choroi can come from the word like a chur is a hole, is a hole. Orgim choroi means people who would weave garments with holes in it, like nets. It's another way of saying nets. They would use the flax and they would make nets out of it to catch the fish. But if there'd be no fish, so then all those people who made the nets would not have what to do. The foundations of the fish pools will be battered, and they won't have these fish pools. So everything will be affected by this makotomy of Mitzrayim. Achevilim sorei tzoan. The officers of Tzoan are just avilim. They're like fools. Chachme yoatzei Paro, the wise men, the chachomim, the wise advisors of Paro, Eitzon Nivoro. Now they have counsel that's Nivoro, that's boorish, that's foolish, it's foolishness. Eich Tomru el Paro, how could you say to Paro, Ben chachomim ani? How could anyone say I'm a descendant of Chachomim? It's not just I'm a Chachom, the son of a Chachom. I'm the repository of wisdom. How could somebody say that to Paro? Ben Malche Kedem, or to say I come from royalty. The Pasuk is mentioning two things. There was Sorei Tzoan, the officers of Tzoan, those who knew how to control society, those who were the ruling class, the officers, those Sorei Tzoan, the officers of Tzoan, are avilim. They're foolish. And they are the ones who can't say, how could you say you're Ben Malchei Kedem, as the Pasuk ends off? You come from the earlier kings. You have a tradition and a knowledge of government and of ruling. The downfall of Mitzrayim is going to be so harsh and so painful. Anybody who is ruling the country will not be able to say to Paro, I know how to help you and I know how to run a society. And the Chachme Yoatzei Paro, that's a different group. The group who weren't necessarily the ruling class, but they were the wise men, the advisors. they also ate sanivora. They don't have a, they have a foolish council. They don't know what to do. How could they say, Ben Chachomim Ani, I'm the son of the wise men, and I have this tradition of wisdom. The wise men, the rulers, they're not going to know what to do. Achavilim Soreit Soan, the officers are foolish. The Chachmei Yoat Se Paro Eitz Anivoro, the wise men have foolish counsel. Echtomu El Paro, how could any of you say to Paro, Ben Chachomim Ani, I'm a son of the wise men, Ben Malchei Kedem, or I come from the earlier rulers. Ayon, where are they? Eifo Chachomecha, where are your wise men? V'yagidu noloch, let them tell you now. V'yedu, let them try to know my Yoatz Hashem Tzvokos al Mitzrayim, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has planned for Mitzrayim. The term ayom, where they are, is when something is close by and you don't know exactly where, you use the term ayeh. Like the Malachim said to Avram, ayeh Sarah Ishtecha, where is Sarah? She's probably around somewhere, but where is she? Or you have ayeh HaKadesha Hibo Einayim, with the incident of Yehuda and Tamar, and he later on sent the Gedi Ha'izim, he sent the goat, and he was asking in the vicinity, where ayeh HaKadesha Hibo Einayim, where is the Kadesha, this woman that they were looking for? So ayeh is, if you know that, you know they're around here, you don't know exactly where. The word eifo is if something's in the distance, and you don't know where, it's far away, you don't know exactly where they are. It's like a, po. A is where, po, here. In other words, where is the place that you can say it's here? Where is that place? Like when Yaakov sent Yosef and he was looking for his brothers and he asked, eifo heim roim, where are they grazing the sheep? And as he went on a distance, he left Yaakov, eifo heim roim, he didn't know where they are. He didn't know which place they're in. That's a term of somewhere out in the distance. Here in Pasuk Yud Beis, ayom, where are they? Or as if there are chachamim around here, I don't see them. Where are they? Well, are they hiding all of a sudden? Well, right when we need them, they don't seem to be here. Ayom, where are they? In eifo chachamecha, could be your wise men are not at all nearby, but you have them at some other place. But eifo, where's the place where they could be found? Your chachamecha, your wise men, v'yagidu noloch, that they should be able to tell you, v'yedu, and that they should know, mayoatz Hashem tzvokos al Mitzrayim, what exactly is Hashem's plan, what the gezeira on Mitzrayim is. If they, obviously they don't know, and they don't understand what Hashem wants, because if they did, they wouldn't continue to mislead you with their foolishness, with the idols, with the kishuf, with all the nonsense. Noalu Sorei Tzoan. The officers of Tzoan have become foolish. Nishu Sorei Nof. And now the officers of Nof are misguided. Hisu es Mitzrayim. They have caused Mitzrayim to stray. Pinas Shivoteha, the cornerstones of her tribes. Mitzrayim, those who lived in Mitzrayim, that was the head of the Egyptian empire. So, first, Noalu Sarei Tzoan, the officers of Tzoan, which is the seat of wisdom, those people became or were foolish. Nishu Sarei Nof, and therefore those who lived in Nof, which was the smaller areas, and that they sort of took their guidance from the Sarei Tzoan, but they were also misguided. Hisu es Mitzrayim, and therefore Mitzrayim themselves was strayed. Pinas Shvoteha, the cornerstone, the main, the most chosh of a part of Mitzrayim is misled. Hashem mosach bekirbo ruach ivim. Hashem has poured out into the midst of Mitzrayim the spirit of Ivim, of insanity, of foolishness, of insanity, v'hisu es Mitzrayim b'chol ma'aseyu, and they've caused Mitzrayim to stray with everything they're doing, kihita os shikor b'kiyo, as a drunkard strays into his vomit, and he does things that are totally irrational, but Mitzrayim is now in desperation without any clear sense of guidance. And it's on their way to destroying it that Hashem is going to destroy Mitzrayim. Okay, we'll stop here.